Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And it is always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. Tonight, we're going to study the book of James. And the title of the lesson is, Just Because You Love the Lord, You Are Not Exempt from Trials. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and play the song so that we could get into the lesson tonight. And I would like to give time towards the end for anybody who would like to make any comments, because there's a lot going on in the world. So I'm going to play this song. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace, and then we'll explore the words of God together. Listen to the music. Be prayerful. Because it says Jesus is the Lamb of God. In these trying times, we have to remember that. And I'm going to play this song because God is telling us what we should do in trying times.
If my people who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their
book of Chronicles, Second Chronicles, God says people would humble themselves and pray, he will heal the land. You know, we have to realize in this life that prayer unlocks doors. And we have to be prayerful in season and out of season, not just when there's heavy trials or tribulations, you know, up on us. We should always take time and communicate to God. That was Darrell Coley, Second Chronicles. Our lesson tonight is just because we love the Lord, we are not exempt from trials. We're coming from the book of James 1, verses 2 through 8. You know, we are living in some trying times. And if you study the Bible, you know, it won't take you all the way by surprise. God told us that there will be days like this, pestilence, you know, all sorts of trials and all kind of things because of sin and the sinful hearts of the people. But we have to be prayerful. We have to, in this time, hold on to the confession of our faith and wait on God to see us through. So I encourage you tonight, my brothers and sisters, hold on. God is in control. He don't make no mistakes. And he have your best interest at heart. At this time, I'm going to ask for someone to press the one button and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. It's praying time. And as Sister Pam said on last week, not playing time, but praying time. And if someone would press the one button, and they can lead us into prayer. All right, Sister Pam, I see you done press the button. Your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. Lord, we thank you tonight for life, giving you all praise, all glory, and all honor. Father, we know all power is in your hand in heaven and in earth. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. For your grace is sufficient enough for me. Lord, the sorrows that are happening today all over the world, things that are happening, you said it must happen. And Lord, we know that, God, you are still in control of all things. And you, and only you, has the power to turn all this around. But we must know that we have to keep our trust and our faith and believe. And hold on to the confession of our faith that all things are possible through you and through Christ. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're still to do. Lord, we thank you tonight for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. We lift her up tonight in prayer, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you continue pouring out your blessings over her and her family. Lord, we pray for everybody tonight that was affected by this disease, those that lost their lives, Lord Jesus. We just praying for the families. Lord, we pray for those that are in prison tonight. We pray for those that are homeless tonight, Lord Jesus. We give you all praises, all glory, and all honor. And we do all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, and thank God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. And if there's anyone else who would like to pray, because, y'all, we got to realize this is praying time, you know. So if someone else would like to pray, you could press the one button, and I'll open the mic up for you. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, Heavenly Father, we calling upon your mighty name because there's no other help. We know. Lord, we leaning and depending on you, dear God. Lord, we have trouble on every side. Lord, we realize that you either orchestrated this situation with this virus or you are allowing it. And even either way, dear God, we know you're going to work all things out for our good. So, Lord, for that I say thank you. Bless the body of Christ, and not just the body of Christ, but others as well. Lord, I thank you for making a way for us out of no way. Lord, I'm asking that we all look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, I stand before you and the people, and I say that I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Thank you, dear God, because I know you're working on our behalf. Thank you, dear God, because I know you're protecting us and holding us in your hand. Thank you, dear God, that you are in control and nothing can happen unless you will it. And, Lord, for that we say thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I have another caller. Your number is 504-230. You press the one. Your mic is open.
Father, we just give you glory and honor and praise, God. Through all that is going on, we will keep our eyes fixed and focused on you because we know, God, that you are in control of everything, oh God. We will not walk in fear. We will not walk in doubt, and we shall not worry because we know the promise from God. We thank you, Lord, that during this time we can keep our eyes on you because we know without a shadow of a doubt that nothing will overtake us, oh God. We are overcomers. We are victorious, and we are winners. And we give you glory. We give you honor, and we give you praise that we will walk by faith and not by sight because the things that we see are going on, you already said it was coming. We know, God, that you are in control. You're a leader and God, and you lead us and you guide us. We know that you're a provider, and we trust in you, oh God. We give glory and honor to you, oh God. And we just thank you for each and every caller on this line, God, those who wanted to be on here and couldn't be. And we just ask that you will continue to help us to walk by faith and not by sight. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much, my sister, for that beautiful breath. It's praying time, people, not playing time. It's just so much going on. But through it all, it's never what you have to go through. It's who you decide to go through it with. I have another caller, 504-621-14. Your mic is open.
I have the scriptures that I would like to read tonight. God gave me this on February 29, 2020, somewhat around the time they began to talk about what was about to take place. But anyway, about 11:45 on the 29th of February, the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart, Psalms 91. And if it's okay with you, Minister Diane, I would love to read the entire chapter, which is 16 verses.
Okay.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 10,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Long life, verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That was Psalms chapter 91. I would like to encourage everyone to reread this entire chapter and ask God to open up your understanding and give you the wisdom and knowledge that you need to be able to hold on to him by faith in this time of trouble. Amen.
I want to thank you so much, my sister, because the word of God is our strength, and there's never too much word that can go forth, never too much. And we thank you for that. And as she encouraged, read the scriptures, because God has given us everything we need to keep us whole through these times. But it's up to us to read it, to trust it, and then to hold on because of it. Thank everyone for your prayers and the scriptures. Our lesson, as I said earlier, is coming from the book of James, the first chapter, verses 2 through 8. And the title of our lesson is, just because you love the Lord, we are not exempt from trials. Many times people, after they found God, which God was never lost, but they figure once they begin to do things right or better than they did it before, when they begin to pay their tithes, when they begin to do things, they can't understand when trials and tribulation come their way. But I come to tell you tonight they will. And James, in this lesson, is letting us know. I want you to know that James, the writer of this book, was the half-brother of Jesus. James and Jesus had the same mother, but not the same father. And I want you to know that James' brothers did not believe in him until after his resurrection. Because John 7:5 says, for neither did his brothers believe in him. And it's usually that way, because even in our lives, people in our community sometimes, in our homes, on our jobs, don't seem to understand what God has given us. You know, they have somewhere say that a man gets no respect in his hometown. And Jesus even said that when he had to leave his hometown because they wouldn't receive him. But I want you to know that James, the book of James, and I encourage you to read it because it's a how-to-do book on Christianity, Christian living. So I want you to know that James is noted for saying that faith without works is dead. And then Paul always said, we are not saved by works, but by faith. Many believe that this is a lot of contradictions. But if you really pay attention and look at it, they really enhance each other. And both are truly true. Because you see, true faith works. Hallelujah. True faith works. And Paul wants us to know that, you know, it's all through Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus Christ. But remember, true faith works. And we're going to go in our lesson tonight. And I'm going to read just the first chapter and the second verse right now. And the title, the verse said, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. You see, James makes the statement that when you fall, not if you fall, when trials come, not if they come, sometime when people turn their back on you, not if they turn, but when they turn, when adversities, which are difficulties and misfortunes, come, not if they come, but when they come, James is asking us to count it all joy. You see, this life will have diverse, and that word diverse means many, temptations. And temptation is also a form of testing. You see, whether from the world, which represents Satan, or from God, or sometimes by us. Because you see, whatever going on in our life, we have to see what part we played in it. The Bible lets us know that, because we all fall short of the glory of God. And when they talk about this glory of God, I want you to know tonight, it represents his righteousness. We fall short of the righteousness of God. You see, our negative experiences are to be accepted with joy. And I'm not asking you to just be happy about the trial itself, but because of the positive work God can accomplish through the testing. You know, sometimes God used trials, temptations, and testing to mature us. How could we know when we are blessed if we had no bad times? How could we know that he's a healer or a deliverer? And that whenever you need him, he's always working things out for our good while never leaving us. Do you know that? Do you really, really know that? And you should truly understand it in times like these. Because God's master plan is in place right now in the middle of coronavirus. This did not take God by surprise. God knew everything before the foundation of the world, and he knew that this would be this day. And he already had everything in place for his children. Yes, some Christians may die with this, but they have eternal life. Yes, some Christians may suffer, because you see, you know, sometimes the good, they always say the good suffer for the bad, but it's really the good suffer along with the bad sometimes. You see, God is in control, and he has designed or allowed everything that happens in our lives. So learn to trust him even in the midst of a storm. You see, the joy that James is speaking about can only be achieved if you have the blessed assurance that you are a child of God. If you don't have it and you don't know it, you can't achieve pure joy. You must know and understand that there's a difference between happy and joy. You see, so many people always want to be happy, but joy is the big boy in that scenario. You see, joy, which is a gift given to us by God through the Holy Spirit, which is a fruit of the Spirit. You see, that gift of joy that was imputed in us when the Holy Ghost came can actively work within you if you cooperate, if you understand, if you hold on to it, if you cherish it. You see, this joy can stand alone in the midst of a storm. And you see, when some storms come our way, happy is blown away by the winds of the storm. You got to remember that happy only happens when something that you want to happen happens. But you see, joy is always present in the midst of the storm. You see, joy will give you the assurance of God in your life even while you're going through the storm, so you could have that joy that really surpasses understanding, because when others look at you, they can't understand how you could stand up so tall and how you could just go on and keep it moving in the midst of some things. And I'm not telling you that joy is this. God wants us to be reasonable. We have to do the things that we have to do to keep us in line to receive the joy. You see, even in our temptations, trials, tribulation, testing, the scripture tells us if we love God, he's going to work it out. Now, you have to ask yourself the question right there. Do you believe that wholeheartedly? Do you really believe it? Because if you believe it, that he's going to work it out, then the lesson we had last week about the armor of God, it's to equip yourself with the weapons necessary for this battle and then stand. And I said last week, the problem with standing too soon, you could get ambushed, because it says when you have done all that you're supposed to do, stand. Because even though God loves us, we are not exempt. You see, and he never promised us a rose garden. He promised us eternal life, that he said, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, and nor can it enter the hearts of a man what God has in store for his people. That's pretty cool. And a rose garden I was speaking about here, he never promised us a rose garden on earth, but he did promise us eternal life. You got to know that temptation is enticement or invitation to sin. Temptation in and of itself is not the problem, but what we do with it when it comes. You should know that Satan is the greatest tempter and God is the greatest deliverer. People often say God will not allow more on you than you can handle. But that is not the way the scripture reads, and this is the scripture, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The scripture says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It's saying nothing that you could be tempted with, everybody ain't been tempted with. There's nothing new under the sun. But it goes on to say, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape. Now, I'm not just talking, the word temptation here is broader. Temptation, no trial that could come above you, no tribulation that could come on you can be more than you could bear. But he will make a way for you to escape. We don't really know how much we can truly bear. And many times we fold before time, because God has so much in you that you don't realize you give up before the race is finished. And it causes you to feel that God is taking too long to deliver. But God know you had some more in you. You didn't. God knew you could have went another step or went another mile. But you see, when we get in our pity feelings and we get all just bent out of shape, we really go like on shutdown, and we can't go no further with that. You got to remember that it's not about our time, but it's God's time. It's not our will, but God's will. And believe me, he know how much you can bear. It's our job to hold on until our change comes. God can make a way out of no way. Do you believe it? Do you trust him? With everything that's going on right now with this coronavirus, do you trust God? Yes, obey what the leaders and stuff is saying, because the word of God tells us to obey the law of the land. If they ask you not to gather, don't gather. If they ask you to wash your hand, wash your hand. You know, we have to do what we have to do, but we still gonna believe the report of God. Think that many trials and tribulations we have experienced, the many times that God has delivered us, that it would produce spiritual maturity. But I have a surprise for you tonight. That's not always the case. You see, God uses trials, tribulations to mature, to get us to another level, to bring us into a new season. God is using everything he created to get us to the intended purpose that he say he has established for us in Jeremiah 29 and 11. But we have to cooperate, and then it will produce spiritual maturity. But that's not always the case. Sometimes trials and tribulations can make you bitter instead of making you better. And we begin to blame God for our shortcomings. In all of this, we must evaluate ourselves to see what part we may be playing in the trial. God give you a job and you make money. And you take your money, and I'm being hypothetical. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just using an example. You go to the racetrack and you lose all your money, and now you can't pay your light bill, and now you got a problem. You know, what part are we playing in the things and some of the things that are happening in our lives? You see, many of our trials are caused by our sins. Because you guys know that there are consequences attached to sin. And they will prevail. So verse 3 and 4 saying, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The scripture says, trying up your faith, work it patient. And you got to let patience do her perfect work. God created patience, gave us patience. And he's telling us patience is perfect. But we got to allow it to do the work. You see, the scripture states, knowing this, which means accepting it as a fact, that your faith will work patience. You can't have patience without having faith. You know, a lot of people say, babe, I don't have no patience. Well, you can't have patience without having faith, strong faith. You see, faith is what makes you sit out and wait, even when you can't see the victory. Faith is what allows you to hold on to the confession of patience is what allows you to hold on to the confession of that faith you say you have. So we see here that in order to have patience, we must work our faith. You see, you know, James said faith without work is dead, and he wasn't just talking about feeding the hungry, but faith without work. Working your patience is a work of faith, y'all. staying in the realm of joy is working your faith. Faith is belief in someone or some things. So many people put their faith and trust in their jobs, their money, their education, or other people. And at some point, all of these things will let you down. Look at now, the coronavirus. People are good employees at their jobs. Because of the circumstances and the situation, a job closed, you lose your job. Your money, if they shut all of the stores out and they can't keep supplies on the shelf, money ain't going to do you no good. Hallelujah. And you can't say, I'm going to leave New Orleans and go to California, because California got the same problem that you did. You haven't. You know, a little bit different with Katrina. You know, New Orleans was all, New Orleans, Louisiana, or whatever, was all out of whack. But, you know, many people was able to go to Texas where the things were sort of normal. But now every country in the United States of America and many countries abroad have the same situation. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. But you could stand in the midst of this storm because Jesus is right there with you. As Christians, we should place our faith in Jesus Christ, for he is faithful. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, you got to remember, even with this coronavirus right now, we can only see what's in front of us. But God can see far off. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that the things we can't see in the present will come to pass if we patiently wait. And while you wait, now when you stand, and like I said last week, that's not to be idle. Do what God wants you to do. Grow more, show more, give more, help more, be more, learn more while you're waiting. You see, patience is accepting and waiting for a change to come. You see, patience allows you to bear annoyances, misfortune, or pain without complaining. You see, Satan allows you not to lose your temper, to have irritation or the like. It's the ability or willingness to surpass restlessness when confronted with delay. Patient is quiet, calm, steady, persevering, even-tempered, and it gives you diligence. We can't know the depth of our character until we know how we will react under pressure. And you got to add this to your scenario. Sometimes it's only a test. God wants to make us mature, complete, perfect, and entire. That's what the scriptures say, which means whole, but not to keep us from pain. When the Holy Ghost came to live inside of you once you accepted Christ as your Savior, he brought the gift of the Spirit and joy, what James talked about in the second chapter, in the second verse, and patience, what we're speaking about now in the third and fourth verse. It came in that package. When you let patience accomplish your work, you will want for nothing. And you're going to wait with joy. It goes together, guys. Patience working in you and with you in trials allow you to know that you have the victory, and that's where the spiritual growth comes in. Don't panic before it's time. Don't fold before it's time. Just trust God and hold on. Patience gives you time to grow and will accomplish what it set out to do. Instead of complaining about your struggles, you should see them as opportunities to grow. God allowed Job to be tested. But remember, he did it with a watchful eye. Satan couldn't do anything to Job without getting permission from God. And that's the same way God is working in your life. God gave us the example of Job, and there we see that Job took it with joy, and then Job is the example of patience. And God was showing you that he was allowing this, but it was with a watchful eye. I want to tell you tonight that God got you. And sometime I want to ask you, what else do we have to do for us to understand that fact? If we look at the last verses, it say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that give it to all men liberally and unbridled not, hold it back not, and it shall be given. Let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. That man, what man? The double-minded man. Because verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when we look at this, I want you to know that wisdom is from God. The only way for you to get wisdom is to ask God. And he said, to all that ask, he will give. You know, wisdom is really common sense. And it's good judgment. That's why not the smartest person in the world could be very wise and have wisdom. Come on now. How many times I hear people say, my parents couldn't read and write, but they done got these houses and open these business because of wisdom, and wisdom comes from God. And God give it to all acts, but you got to ask. You see, wisdom give us a wise outlook, a plan, and a course of action. I know that we all know some educated fools. They went to school, did the work, but don't have the common sense to figure out some of the simplest things in life. An intelligent person may have a profound idea and get nowhere with it. But a wise person put ideas into action. A knowledgeable person may make a lot of money, but don't know how to manage it and lose it all. But a wise person can take a little, yet manage well, and gain a lot, and find a way to keep it. Y'all got to know it's never how much you make, but it's what you do with it. Wisdom gives you the ability to put knowledge to work. You should know that common sense is not so common to some people. You see, there's no school of wisdom, no wisdom degree offered at no university, or no course to achieve a PhD in wisdom. Because as I said earlier, it comes from God, and he gives it freely to all that acts, and he will not hold it from you. We have not because we ask not. In asking God, we must line our requests up with the will of God. Y'all can't go pray to God and ask for things that don't line up with the word of God. There are certain things that are out of the will of God, and God won't even touch it. He won't dwell in it. So if you've been asking for some things that's not in the will of God, you know, you could stop waiting for it because it's not going to happen. We must have confidence that God will align our desires with his purpose, because that's the way God's plans work. And as I close tonight, I'm going to just do a little summary because I want you to catch it. You see, James is letting us know that we will have trials and temptations in our lives. So let's get it straight. Don't be saying, God, why you let the coronavirus, you know, or why me, especially if you get it, you know. But God has a plan. You know, anything that I believe, and I hope it's really true for me in my life, I believe that no matter what God allows or orchestrates in my life, that I will be matured enough to say it is well. When I read that story of the Sumerian woman, and her son died, and they asked her, where you going? She said, it is well. Touch my heart. And it became a desire of mine. But if we apply the word of God in times of trouble, we will have success. When Satan tempted Jesus Christ just answered with the word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And I come to tell you tonight, the word of God is our strength. So if this coronavirus is making you a little weak, strengthen yourself with the word of God. It's not about what happens in our life, what makes the difference. It's who we're going to go through them with. James said we should take our trials and temptations with joy, realizing that God is in control and is constantly molding and shaping us into our intended purpose. I hear so many people quote that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, when God said, I know the thoughts I have to you. Well, if you believe that, let patience have her perfect work. Use patience in dealing with all situations in your life. You see, in Isaiah 40:31, it says, Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like an eagle. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. You see, the word of God lets us know that there are provisions even in our time of waiting. Whatever you are patiently waiting for God, wait. Patiently wait. And I want to let you know, we always talking about whatever God guides, he provides. Wherever he sends you, the provision is already there waiting for you. Well, I want to tell you tonight, even in the midst of this storm, there are provisions in the storm for us. God don't put you in a storm and take away the provision. That's why we could say he's working things out for our good. But while you patiently wait for this to do what it's going to do that you can't control, trust God and believe that he's providing provisions for you in the midst of all of this. Have the blessed assurance that God is working it out, that these weapons not going to form against you. You see, he lets us know that wisdom, use wisdom in this situation, is necessary, and we could only receive it if we ask God. Everything that we do must be done in faith, and wavering causes us to be double-minded. We can't receive anything from God in a double-minded state. So we have to stop compromising our faith. Do a little bit of God, do a little bit of this. Do a little bit of God when it fits our agenda. Do a little bit of this. That's compromising. That's double-minded. Just because we love the Lord, we're going to have the trials in our lives. And he wants us to know sometimes it's only a test. We should, as Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. So I encourage you tonight, even in the midst of what all of this is going on, let God lead and you learn to follow. Because in this situation, God is going to be telling us to go left or go right. But you got to know his voice. And he's going to work it out together for our good. But I didn't say there won't be no pain. Because sometimes without pain, there's no gain. And some people, the only way for them to gain maturity or whatever, they have to have pain. God knows all of this. And I want you to know he's working all things out together for our good. That's our program for tonight. And I pray that you were blessed. I pray that the words that God has allowed to go forth tonight on this program, I pray that it's all good. And I pray for each and every one of you to be safe and secure during these times. I pray that your heart and your mind is open up to receive what God has to say. And hold on to the confession of your faith and believe the report of the Lord. So if there's anyone who would like to say anything, you could press the one button and I'll open the mic for you. Anyone would like to sing, pray, give encouragement, talk about how do you feel about the coronavirus. It's our Bible study, y'all. You know, you might want to give a report what's going on in case some people is not keeping up with CNN and NBC with the reports of concerning the coronavirus. Anybody would like to say anything? Caller, your number is 678-598. Your mic is open.
Hi, good evening on tonight. That was a beautiful lesson. I just want to encourage people. And I see the hand of God in all of this. A friend sent me a message on my Facebook, and he was saying that college children could have been gotten laptops and free Wi-Fi, how the Wi-Fi could have been a utility, stores could have been allowing seniors to shop for 1 hour and be assisted. So it could have closed early to give stockers time to stock properly. College students' interest rates could have been lowered or frozen. Pregnant women and disabled people, single parents could have been home all the time. Abandoned federal buildings could have been used for homeless people. Bill payments could have been furloughed both times. Telling people they're not going to touch the light and that's the water. It's just letting us know all this could have been done a long time. Evictions on hard times could have been delayed. Co-pays and out-of-pocket health expenses could have been waived. Just to name a few of the things. So I see God has a provision for his people in this because a lot of legislation is coming down to help the poor family. They're talking about stimulus checks and giving everybody food to them. So that let us know that they could have been doing something about poverty and hardship for the poor. And that's my main concern for the widows and the orphans and the poor that's going to affect the hardest about this. They don't have the resources to go out and buy extra food or to buy sanitizer or the things that they need while they closed in. The extra food they're going to need children would otherwise be in school. Now they have to prepare a breakfast, lunch, and a supper. I just want to say that and be encouraged. Yes, our faith is being tested, but God is in control.
Thank you so much, Sister Paula, Minister Paula. Thank you for your comments. Still have a few minutes if anybody would like to say anything. If anybody would like to pray, Sister Elyria. Sister Elyria, I opened your mic. Would you mind leading us in prayer? Minister Mackey.
Don't mind. Must sing something before, because when you say something, the song just came on my heart. Lead me, guide me along thy way, for if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. I am weak and I need thy strength and power just to help me over my weakest hour. Let me to the light, thy face I'll see. Why don't you lead me, oh Lord, lead me, lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Just lead me, oh Lord, lead me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord God. God, your word declares that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. And we ask that you would just continue to order our steps in your word, oh God. God, you said if we abide in you and your word abide in us, we could ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us, Lord. God, we stand on your promises because they are yea and they are amen. And God, your word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. And no matter what we go through, we realize that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord God. God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, because your word declares faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God, if we want to increase in faith, Lord, we have to increase in your word. God, and you said, beloved, above all, you would that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our souls prosper, Lord. And we thank you that our soul is prospering, Lord, that we would be in good health. And God, we declare your works over our lives, oh God, because you say we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people, and we've been called out of darkness into your marvelous light to show forth your praises. And God, I pray right now, Lord God, for those that are battling with coronaviruses right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you for raising Kim up, oh God, that she's off the ventilator, Lord God, that she's breathing on her own, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord God. And even those that you have been touching and healing, Lord, I'm thanking you, Lord God, and I'm thanking you in advance for the ones that you will heal. Oh, God, because you said in your word, you heal all manner of sickness and disease. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. And we stand on your word because your word is truth, oh, God. And you say that we are the beloved of God. You said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we are lively stones, Lord. And we thank you for bringing us alive in Christ Jesus. We know that the blood still works, that the blood has never lost its power, Lord. And we just plead the blood of Jesus across our land, because we stand on your word, because your word said, if my people, which are called by my name, would begin to humble themselves and pray and seek your face, oh God, you said, then will you hear from heaven. You forgive the sin and you heal the land. And we praying for the land right now in the mighty name of Jesus, from the north, south, east to the west, Lord God, that you cover right now with your blood, Lord God. And God, no matter what we go through, we going to stand on your word. God, sometimes you allow things to be that we can cry out all the more. And we stand on your word because we know that the strong alter and bear the infirmities of the weak, and that we draw strength one from another, Lord God. And we thank you for being our strength, Lord God. We thank you for your joy, because you said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you for joy this afternoon. God, we thank you most of all for Minister Diane, Lord God, that she come forward every Wednesday night, Lord God, with a word from on high. And you said in your word that your word will go out and it will not return back void, but it accomplished everything that it was set forth to do. And God, we thank you for your word being a healer, Lord God. We thank you for your word being deliverer, Lord God. We thank you for your word, because your word cleanses us. It purifies us. It sanctifies us, God. You said we in this world, but we not of the world, Lord God. And we just want to let our light shine that men can see Jesus in us and come asking, what must I do to be saved? God, we want to be the light of the earth, oh God. We want to be the salt of the earth. We want to do as your word declares. We want our speech to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we know how to give an answer to every man, everyone that come looking for a hope in you, because our faith and our trust is in Jesus. And God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to redeem us back to you. And God, we thank you. We give your name honor, praise, and glory. And it is in Jesus' name that I call it all done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord. Thank from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackie. At this time, I have another caller that has pressed the number, pressed the button. Caller, your number is 504-942-07. Your mic is open.
Oh, sister, I just come in the mighty name of Jesus, giving God the praise for bringing this lesson, this service to me on a Wednesday night. It has been a blessing to my soul. I thank you for all the things that you have given us to say. But, Father, we realize that you have heard our prayers. And we know it's just a matter of time before you send us an answer. We realize that the coronavirus is nothing for you to heal. We realize that you have all power in your hand. For when you came before the Great Commission in the book of Matthew, you said, God has given me all power. Go ye therefore to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lord, we realize that you keep your word and you have all power. You heal the men of leprosy. So we know that the coronavirus is not too much for you to heal. Bless us.
Amen.
To keep the faith.
Hallelujah.
Keep us doing the things that you will have us to do. Father, we want to walk in your footsteps. We want to be like you. We want to walk like you, to talk like you. Teach us, Lord, to do whatever it is that you will have us to do. We look to you, dear Father, knowing that everything is going to be all right. We might go through, but you didn't promise us roses. Dear Father, you promised us salvation. And you died on the cross so that through you we would have eternal life. Father, keep us walking upright and doing what you will have us to do. Thank you, dear Father, for this Bible study. Bless us to continue to grow in the newness of life. Keep us wanting and having a desire to move to the next level. Be in us, Father. Be in us. And thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen. And I'm going to go ahead and close because we're a little bit over time. But I want y'all to know that, you know, the church building is closed. The church is not closed. We are the church. Where we worship is the church building. So just remember that. And be the church that God is coming back to get his bride in the times like these. So with all of that being said, I thank God for each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you. I pray for each and every one of you. And it's just, I'm just thankful. So I want to say good night, and I ask that God watch over us till we meet again. And if it's the God, if it's God's will, we'll meet back on Wednesday night. But until then, be prayerful. Be vigilant, because the adversary is seeking whom he may devour. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't fold. Stand tall. And watch the salvation of God in our lives. Good night.